Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Sometimes I don't even know what to call a certain clergy person. You see someone in a mosque, they appear to be the spiritual leader of the group, and you're not going to call the mosque the church, will you? You might call it a congregation in a general sense, but it's not a church, it's a mosque. But the guy standing at the front or the guy preaching on Fridays, is he the clergyman? He's certainly not the pastor. Imam? Is that the proper term? All of us get a little confused, and the media does certainly get confused as well. On this Friday afternoon, July the 15th, Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about media terms for clergy. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
We're going to be talking about media terms for clergy, but even the term clergy is a little tricky, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, mainly because different religious movements have different language. I mean, for example, the kind of the catch-all for raising these questions is Mormonism. Mormons do not have people that they consider ordained clergy in the sense that other denominations do. Yet you have stake presidents. A stake is their word for a local congregation, the equivalent of the word parish. And then you have people who function for a period of their life in an office that they call bishop. Some listeners may remember a number of years ago, there was a little bit of a hubbub in the press wondering what it meant that at one point in his life, Mitt Romney was a bishop. Does that mean they should call him Bishop Romney? Because when in doubt, the media defaults to Roman Catholicism. When in doubt, everything else is compared to Catholics. For example, let's talk Lutheran for a second. In Lutheranism, the operative term for a local ordained clergy person in the ELCA, clergyman in Missouri Synod, the local term is what?
Generally pastor.
Generally pastor. I've had many an angry phone call through the years from Missouri Synod Lutherans when I used the Associated Press, the Reverend so-and-so, instead of pastor. But pastor is not a term that the Associated Press style book recognizes for this sort of thing. Another big one is whether or not you refer to someone when you're writing an AP, you know, friendly story about religion and you're talking about a Catholic minister, is it the Reverend so-and-so or Father so-and-so? Same thing exists within Eastern Orthodoxy and to a lesser extent within the Episcopal Church. Okay, let's just pile the complications on here. How about a Lutheran, ELCA Lutheran pastor who holds credentials in both the ELCA and the Episcopal Church, and they are leading a congregation that is recognized by both denominations? And on top of that, it's a woman. They're probably going to call her pastor, but you would have some places where they might call her mother so-and-so. I mean, so for a reporter, all of this is a bit of a nightmare. Then you throw in the second level of clergy, like deacons. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention has deacons, but you will never see one quoted in a news story as deacon so-and-so. It's more of a layperson's office, even though the Baptist Church ordains deacons. Now, then you take that to the Roman Catholic Church, and you have two different kinds of deacons. You have permanent deacons, people who are ordained as a deacon, and they're never moving up to the priesthood. And these men are famous among Catholics because, you know, they're married in most cases. Then you have transitional deacons. These are people who serve as deacons for a while, but everybody knows that they are just kind of on a way station on the way to the priesthood. Now, does Lutheranism have anything that's the equivalent of the deacon?
Oh, golly, you just asked a million-dollar question.
I did.
We just spent a week in Milwaukee essentially erasing 30 years of deviation from our confessional documents and trying to get back to a proper use of that term. Okay, so to put it shortly, we do have deacons. It's more of an occasional thing, but for the last 30 years we had this thing called licensed lay deacons that were essentially unordained pastors, which in our theology is an oxymoron, and we fixed
it. But what it was supposed to have been was something like the permanent diaconate, right? In other words, these are lay people who assist clergy, and they have kind of limited ordination powers. For example, in Roman Catholicism, a permanent deacon can perform a wedding, but cannot lead the Mass. Now, in Orthodoxy, a permanent deacon can do the same thing, but can lead what's called a Mass of Reserved Sacrament, where they'll lead a Mass in which they already have bread and wine that was consecrated by a priest during a previous ritual. So, in other words, they have not consecrated this to be the body and blood of Christ, but as a deacon, they have the right to serve it to the people. Now, it's my understanding that the Lutheran hubbub was in effect because it looked like y'all were kind of imitating the Roman Catholic permanent diaconate?
No, it was really far more connected to, I don't know what the motivations originally were 27 years ago, but the problem was that these men who were unordained were doing everything that the ordained clergy do, and yet we hadn't ordained them. And so the solution, of course, is to, according to our rite, to examine, to call, and to ordain, to take them all the way into the pastorate.
So there isn't a New Testament diaconate in Lutheranism?
No. Not usually. We do have this kind of occasional thing where a man in the congregation might be consecrated, a deacon, not ordained, but it's simply for the purposes of good order. We would call that an ecclesiastical office, not a divine office.
Now, picture yourself as a reporter listening to the conversation you and I just had.
Oh, yeah, mumbo jumbo.
I mean, it's all Greek to them for the most part. I must admit that when I read the stories about this controversy among Missouri Synod Lutherans and I looked at the time element, I noted that you guys went in this direction almost exactly at the same time as the major stress on the permanent diaconate among Catholics, and I kind of assumed a connection. So then when I heard people were freaking out about it and thought these men had been given too much power and they weren't really ordained, I thought to a certain degree there might be a little bit of what some people have called Romophobia there. I mean, that people were scared that this growing trend among Roman Catholics had taken over the Missouri Synod. I mean, so I think reporters, the operative truth here is you've got to get yourself a clear set of your own notes, denomination by denomination. Now, legally, this is all really important when it comes down to issues like tax exemptions. Another example, all of America's laws that have to do with confidentiality of clergy hearing confession, they wanted to make sure that that wasn't written in a way that favored Roman Catholics over other and didn't grant Protestant clergy a similar protection from lawsuits or subpoenas for things that happened in counseling. So that was extended to Protestant clergy as well. But then does that go to Mormons? What about Scientology, where you have, you know, licensed people, but you have no clergy, yet they're hearing all kinds of things they don't want to talk about? Does the Roman Catholic privilege, and I may use that word with maybe a legal capital P, does the clergy privilege for protection for things you heard in confession, does that extend to a Baptist pastor? Does that extend to the leader, the president of a Mormon stake? Does that extend to a Scientology counselor? This is all just incredibly complex, and sometimes reporters just get lost. Just today I put up a piece at Get Religion with this very strange story out of Alabama, and it's a tragic case in that it's a member of a church staff, someone who works in the religious education staff of a Roman Catholic parish, was arrested and charged with having child pornography. Well, in the middle of the story, there is this reference. Though Martin is an ordained minister, he did not serve in that capacity at the church. What the heck does ordained minister mean in a Catholic context if it doesn't mean that this man was a permanent deacon or a priest? I mean, you immediately start writing out like all the possibilities. Well, was he a Roman Catholic priest? He left the priesthood. Well, then what's he being? He's under Catholic law. That man is supposed to have no role in the church other than being a member. What's he doing helping lead the education program? If he's a deacon, why not say so? The suspicion here is that when they were running down saying that this man was very active, they probably said that he was a lay Eucharistic minister, a lay person who was active enough in the church and had been trained to at least be able to assist the priest in distributing the elements of communion. And then the reporter maybe heard lay Eucharistic minister, added the word ordained, and you get that he was an ordained minister. Except then it says that he wasn't in that capacity in this church. I have no idea what this piece of this story is attempting to say. And there is no correction attached to this story yet. They still haven't straightened it out. So, you know, once again, I can come with 6, 7, 8 different options for what they might be trying to describe. But saying that someone was an ordained minister in the Catholic Church can only mean that they have been ordained as a deacon or a priest. Period. There is no other ordination in Roman Catholicism. So, I mean, sometimes people just lose their way attempting to follow all this. There was another bizarre example I wrote up the other day at Get Religion, and that's another term. What is an evangelist? What would you guess is the legal definition of someone who's called an evangelist?
Okay, I'm going to think, I'm going to try and think, you know, objectively here. It's going to be someone who travels in Billy Graham style or is on television, so travels via the airwaves, and preaches the Christian gospel in some vague sense.
Okay, well, the actual definition, if you look in the dictionary or the style book, is more specific. Now, the problem, you went ahead and made the leap to TV, and we'll get to that in just a moment because we've had this term created called televangelist. But an evangelist is someone whose ministry and job is to preach people to conversion. It's crucial that they are delivering messages that end in altar calls, and they are for the expressed purpose of conversion. Now, if that's the case, most of the people who are on TV that we've been calling televangelists are not evangelists. They're religious broadcasters or commentators, or Jerry Falwell was just an ordinary pastor standing in a pulpit taping his sermons. Yet all of these people got lumped together under the term televangelists, even though very few of them were doing anything that resembled evangelism. Now, if you take the word evangelist and you deconstruct it a bit, and you start off with evangel, you know, a Greek term, or the Latin term that came out of a Greek term earlier, you end up with literally a host of different definitions, but at the heart of it is the word that means the four evangelists, the writers of the Gospels. The evangel is someone who preaches the good news. Then you get Protestant minister or layperson who serves as an itinerant or special preacher, especially a revivalist, except that now in some parts of the world you have Catholics who are itinerant evangelists. What you don't find until you get to the very end of the dictionary definitions is something like someone who advocates a cause with great enthusiasm, like he was an evangelist for Apple computers with a small e, which is a big stretch, and the Associated Press style book doesn't recommend that. Now, I bring this all up because the other day we had the story out of the Los Angeles Times and some other places that opened with, authorities are investigating a Mumbai-based televangelist whose radical sermons are believed to have influenced at least one of the men who killed hostages in a Bangladesh cafe this month. Well, you dig down and you find out that this is a radical Muslim. That raises the question, is it possible to be a Muslim evangelist? You read the story and you find out that this guy was, in effect, kind of an apologist for a radical Islam, and he was trying to get other Muslims to follow his approach to Islam. So in what sense does the word evangelist apply to him? When evangelist, in all of its history and roots, is a Christian term. I observed in my piece that, in effect, televangelist in this case was being used as an insult or a slur. In other words, the worst thing we can think to call this guy is a televangelist because of how nasty that word has come to be in American culture. But most reporters were more cautious and just referred to him as a Muslim TV preacher, which I think is perfectly logical, and I think that would give most readers a pretty clear picture in their mind of this person, right? He's a Muslim, he's on TV, and he's preaching Islam with great enthusiasm. Why try to pull a Christian term like evangelist into this thing? This is all so complicated, I can almost hear listeners falling asleep, but they would not be falling asleep if they were reading a story about their religious tradition and they saw their own vocabulary mangled, right? At that point, people tend to get pretty fired up, and they care about it a lot.
This is one of those instances where it's hard to blame the journalists for being slipshod.
It really is hard. I want to stress that this is all quite technical. But you can say, as a warning, when in doubt, follow the style book. Most of this is accurate in the Associated Press style book, the Bible with a lowercase b of American journalism. When in doubt, follow the style book. And when in doubt, be cautious. Ask for clarifications from the people you're interviewing. Pick clear language that isn't inflammatory, and don't take language from one tradition and drag it into another. You know, he was the pastor of the local Mormon church is wrong twice, even though the reader might think they know what that means. Mormons are going to get very upset with good cause because you've just misused two terms from traditional Christianity to apply to their tradition. Take good notes, be careful, follow the Associated style book, and don't drag terms out of one tradition into another.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media terms for clergy when we come back on this Friday afternoon. I wonder if there's another little rule that we could add to the journalist's book there, and that would be, when in doubt, simply be descriptive instead of church. If you're not sure, just call it a congregation or a gathering. We'll see what he thinks about that after this. Do
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is redeemerchico.org.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen. I'll never know what it's like to be with my father. I can't celebrate Father's Day. When I walk down the aisle, I'm not going to have a father on my arm.
Look, Martin Luther King Jr. in the Civil Rights Movement was all about bringing the faith into the public square.
These were things that were affirmed by this convention from a conservative rationale.
If you could imagine being a nurse or a doctor without any medicine, I mean, that would be incredibly difficult. The nurse walks in and sees a problem, and they've got to somehow, of their own resources, make the person feel better. That's an impossible sort of task.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., well, just about a little bit less than an hour from now, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites for you in their entirety, and then you're going to vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Sending an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or voting on our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc., travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. Goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week later in the program. In the meantime, we're talking about media terms for the clergy. Terry Mattingly is our guest. Terry, before the break, you had a couple rules for journalists. Take good notes particular to that situation, and don't drag Christian terms into non-Christian situations when it comes to reporting on the names of the clergy or congregations. Can we add another one? When in doubt, be descriptive. So if you're not sure if it's a church or a mosque or what to call it, you might call it just more a general term like congregation.
Yeah, the local congregation would not be bad. Now, I think when you're dealing with Islam, I think it's very important to try to find out the terms that would be used among Muslims in your area and try, which in most cases is going to be imam. But I think it's very important there to go the extra mile and attempt to find out what applies to the Muslims in your region. There might also be Muslim centers that are not exactly the same as a mosque. And I've heard of people describing the leaders of those congregations. I just called it a congregation. I've heard people call Muslims who are active in these local associations, I've heard those people called imams when actually it was more like a secular institution, like a Jewish center, as opposed to a synagogue or a temple. Be careful. Be careful out there, as they used to say at the end of that police show, the name of which I have just currently forgotten. Do you remember?
Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues. Be careful out there. And use the AP style book.
I'll give you about 2 minutes here.
Okay.
Let's go back to the little parochial detail we raised before. The issue that was much contested in Milwaukee at the convention of my church body, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, licensed lay deacons. You are a Religion Beat reporter. You are approaching this story. You're going to have to write something about it. Give me kind of step one, two, three, how you avoid what is inevitably going to happen when they write about this story, botching it.
Okay. If I was there, the first thing I would pursue is what Lutherans mean when they say ordination. In other words, what are the powers theologically, what does that term mean? What are the powers within the church, the rituals within the church that Lutheran theology is supposed to say is uniquely attached to being an ordained pastor? And once I have those duties clear, then it might be possible to say, but for the last X number of years, this other group of men have been doing a lot of this. And thus, we have had this battle within the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church over who's ordained and who isn't ordained and why it matters, which is which. Would that be an adequate summary?
I believe so. I believe so.
Well, dude, if you're confused, I don't know what to do. You're the pro. These are your people.
I got to sort it out of my own mind.
Yep. Well, I think we can try to cut people a little bit of slack. But in the cases that I covered at Get Religion, I really think it was pretty clear that mistakes were made that need to be corrected in print for the sake of readers' own understanding of these stories.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's also founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.